But this morning I wanted to talk about one of the ancient ways of God. And so this talk is called Remembering. And this is just one, I want you to think about this with me a little bit. And this is just one of the things that God talks about throughout the Old Testament. It's not something that we talk about very much. But because this is the anniversary of 9/11, because we do need to remember things that have happened in life, whether they're good or bad, we need to remember. And I want to first draw your attention to Genesis. This is like right at the beginning of the Bible, some of the things that God talks about. He says that I will remember my covenant with you. This is him speaking. He says, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember my promises to you. And this is like right after the flood. He says, which is between me and you and every living creature of the flesh and the waters. And there shall never be a flood like this to destroy all flesh. So God himself is saying, I'm choosing to remember my covenant. And then the next verse, the very next verse. So this is Genesis 9:16 now. The rainbow shall be in the cloud and I will look on it and remember. So this is our part. So God says he's going to remember. And then our part, we say, I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember this everlasting covenant between God and every living creature and all flesh that is on the earth. So right now, I want to talk about remembering. And I grew up Mennonite. I don't know if you know that, but I grew up in a Mennonite household. I grew up, some of my relatives still wear head coverings. I grew up in a very strict household. But one of the things that I grew up with is that we would look at the Psalms, and we would go through them. We would talk about the stories of God. We would talk about the stories in the Old Testament that they related to. Because I don't know if you've read the Psalms recently, but they always relate to, oh, the flood that took place and how God took them out of this place and how God was there when they were in Egypt. And it relates to the different stories of the Old Testament, constantly remembering the old things and the goodness of God. So one of the things my parents trained me up in is the fact that we need to remember. We need to remember even the stories of our own lives. Okay? Even the hard stories. Because how God took us through last time means he's going to take you through again. And we need to remember the joys. Do you remember he gave me that thing that I dreamt about forever? He made it possible in my life. And I think if we can get back to the place of remembering our covenant with God, remembering his goodness on our life, we're going to be much happier people, and we're going to be able to train our families in the ways of God, because they're going to hear those stories from us. God came through in this way. Now, I'm just going to tell you a few stories that have gone on recently in my family life. So yesterday, we're cleaning our house, getting it organized and stuff, because on the 20th of September, Bruno has a big meeting with a Vatican official. He's actually going to be here speaking next week. And there's Arch-Anglican bishops and Greek Orthodox priests, and all these different people are coming together. And Bruno is the face of this for Catch the Fire, and he's also organizing the Canadian Division of United Christ. So we're getting our house ready, because we're going to have five or six of them sleep at our house. Okay, and we're moving our kids to the basement, getting the house ready. So my one of my girls says to me, while we're carrying things all over, she says, so, Mommy, do you get paid to have these people stay with you? And I said, not usually. You know, not usually. I said, sometimes people bring us a gift, but not usually. That's not it. And she goes, so why are you doing it? And I said to her, I said, well, I just stopped what I was doing. I looked at her in the eyes, and I said, well, it's this way. God says in the Bible that we entertain angels without knowing it. So we are doing this. And she goes, that's good enough for me. And we just continued on. Okay? And so when I choose to come in line with God and with what the Bible says, which means I actually have to take the time to know what some of the promises of God are in the Bible. Okay, that's my job as a parent. I need to know. But if I can remember them and I can pull them and help my kids to remember and see their place in life, then I am bringing those good things into their lives, and it's their inheritance. So another time we were driving with another one of my daughters, and she goes, Mommy, I've been thinking. She says, what if we've got this whole God thing wrong? those are big questions. Okay, and I said to her, I said, huh. I said, I've been thinking too, and I'm thinking about the fact that I gave birth to you, and my doctors told me I should abort you because I had cervical cancer when I was pregnant with her. And it disappeared when I gave birth to you. And I'm thinking about the miracles of God and how real I know he is in my life. And that's good enough for me. And she goes, I think that's good enough for me too. You know, but the thing is like we need to actually remember and be able to call up these stories of his goodness in the Bible, but also in our lives. And we need to take the time to dream about our future and the inheritance, because these are all things for our children. Now, there's a lot of bad things that have happened too, okay? My grandfather was a prisoner of war for 21 years in Russia. Okay, so my father grew up without a father. He came finally to Canada. But my father, so I was trained in looking at different scriptures, especially the Psalms. And I just really want to encourage you to do this in your own lives. So open up the Psalms this week, okay? Pick one and go through it and go, God, you know, you did this for the children of Israel, so you can do this in my life. And that the Psalms were like David's pouring out his heart or whoever wrote them. Say, you know what, God, it was hard during this time. And just tell him about it. And just go through it line by line, because he wants you to remember. Now, my family, like, things weren't always easy. My grandfather was a prisoner of war. But I was taught to look at the Psalms and say, you know what? But you brought him here, God. You made a way from it. You know, my grandmother applied 13 times for him to come to Canada. 13. But it wasn't until the act was passed by the UN for war-torn families to be reunited that she could actually use that to get him here. Okay? So, like, you just pursue things, and you pursue, and you know it's God. But that doesn't mean it's easy. It just means you've got to press through. But part of it is remembering, you know, looking at the Psalms and saying, you know what, he didn't do it easy. I mean, they were in slavery 400 years. You know, they were in Egypt 400 years, and slavery a good part of that. That couldn't have been easy. But yet they kept relying on the promises and what was to come. And they would actually speak those out to their children. These things are going to come to pass. And you know, we need to start doing that over our lives, over our marriages, and over our children. Okay, speaking out what God will do. So I'm going to share a few of the different things. Oh, so where I was on 9/11, I was very pregnant with my Aunt Abigail. And I went into labor shortly thereafter. That's where I was. And I think every woman who was close to their due date went into labor, because the hospital was like jam-packed full. It was crazy busy. Couldn't get a room. But you see, there's another promise of God, another miracle. I had cervical cancer a second time after I gave birth to John Paul. I had lots of surgery, and my body didn't work to give birth to her. And we both were in jeopardy, and yet God came through. God came through. And you know, and she turns 10 this week, so it's amazing. God is good. Anyway, so these are some of the verses that I came up with remembering. And this first one is Psalm 25, verse 6. And this is us calling out to God. It says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are of old. Can you pray that one with me? O Lord, over my life right now, I ask for your tender mercies, just your loving kindness to cover me, because they are of old. And you've done that before in my life, and the mess I'm in now, I just lay that before you. And I ask for your tender mercies and over our children and our children's children and the generations to come. And then the next verse after says, do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Now this is another issue of remembering, is we often will sit in that shame of remembering the things that we've done wrong. And we will sit there and we will remember those things of old, or those memories will come up. But God is saying he doesn't remember them. He's chose to look past them. He's chose to forgive them. And so the way I look at shame is, if you can imagine this for me, it's almost like a blanket that goes on people, and they wear it almost like a coat everywhere they go, because they're remembering the shame and the pain that they've lived in. But But Jesus comes, and he wants to just remove that cloak. It's almost like, do you remember the woman when she reached up and she touched the hem of his garment? And there's something about the clothing of God, and he just wants to clothe you in his goodness. And he wants to wrap that around you. And he doesn't want you to be dressed in shame. He wants you to be dressed as a king's kid. And so, Father, right now, any of those things of shame that we are sitting and we're remembering, we just take off right now in Jesus' name. And we just receive the king's clothes. Those kingly robes. Because you are a prince and a princess. So Psalm 25:7 says, "Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake." And that's what he does. He says, "I remember you. My eyes haven't looked past you." One of my favorite, when I was in university, I went to a Christian university. One of my big projects I had to do was I had to go through the book of Isaiah and talk about how the gaze of God is on his people. And even in spite of all the things that they do, that his gaze is on them, that he is looking just to see their hearts and what they're doing. And that's what I look at with this verse, is just, you know what, he's looking at you. He's not forgetting you. You're not forgotten. You know, some of you have walked around with saying, "Oh, you know what, I'm forgotten." No, he's not saying that, no. You're not set aside. You're not forgotten. You're totally in his gaze, in his love gaze. You know, he looks at you like, when I look at my children, and I'm just so proud of them, you know, and the beauty that's within them. And that's how he looks at you. It's not with the angry eyes. You know, we talk about angry eyebrows in our household. It's not with those, okay? He looks at you with love in his eyes, okay? Because he actually calls your name, and it's safe in his mouth. Psalm 77:11, "I will remember the works of the Lord, and surely I will remember your wonders of old." Now, this is one of the verses that is calling us back to that place of remembering what he has done. All those obstacles he's taking you through, the job changes, the things shutting down that you thought for sure he had his fingerprint on, but it shut down. All those different things in your life, you know, the difficulties in relationships, all those, he's brought you through. And so whatever's going on in your life now, he's saying, "Yeah, don't you remember? I did it before. I can do it again." And I think that's part of what makes us stronger. It's like Bruno and I, we've been through some huge financial obstacles in our married life, like huge. Okay, I don't know if all of you know our story, but like, I mean, we're talking enormous. Like, Bruno got in an argument with one of his managers. This was when he was working demolition as a demolition manager. He got in an argument with one of the guys. He was sent home from the job. We thought, this has happened before. We thought, oh, you know, he'll be called back, no problem. Everybody just needs a day to cool off. No calls, no nothing. After 2 weeks, they called him, told him he was laid off. We were like, "Oh God, what do we do?" Because like he was trained by them. Like, he worked for them 16 years. They trained him in environmental demolition. Like, it was huge. And then they laid him off. And then within 3 days, he found two jobs that were paid more than what he had gotten before. So he took one of them. And then within 3 weeks after that, the company he worked for went bankrupt. And like 300 guys were now looking for work. And he had already landed an amazing job. So like, God had taken care of it, but in the middle of it, you're going, you're beating the ground, you're crying to God, and you're going, "What did I do to deserve this?" I mean, you sound just like Job, right? "What did I do?" But God comes through. And so like, that's our testimony. And so when people come to us with these financial things, we go, "He did it. And he did it for us." And like, we're just normal people. And he can do it for you. It's not, he can. Absolutely. I mean, look how he looked, took after the people and the children of Israel all through the Bible. He can take care of this. He can. He can do this. And so that's our testimony. So finances is one of the things that we totally believe for. So we're standing with you guys if that's the issue. And then you've got the whole relational thing, which we've seen huge healing with as well. I don't know if you know this, but Bruno was a drug dealer before he became a Christian and pastor and all this stuff. And him and his dad had, like, the worst relationship possible. Okay, when we were first married, it was torture to sit in the same room with those two men together. It really was. Okay, they would argue about everything. And it was just like, oh, God, help me. because I think family is so important. Like, I think like, that is, like, right under God. Like, that is it. That, to me, family is, like, way up on the list. And so, like, I'm like, yes, yes, family. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? So I finally, after, I think we were married, like, 7 years already, and I said to Bruno, I said, you know, your dad hasn't made wine since his dad died. Okay, that's an Italian thing, is making wine together. The men do this. And I said, so what if you just decide to make wine with your dad this year? And Bruno's reaction was like, oh my goodness, stuck in the garage with that man for 3 days straight. Okay, really, that was his reaction. And I went, well, you know, it might work. And so he asked his dad if that's something he'd be interested in. His dad got really excited. And Bruno went, okay, I guess this is going to happen. And you know what? It was the bridge. It was the bridge that, because now whenever people came over, and they, because Italian households, you never leave empty. Even if you've eaten with them, you still don't leave empty. So his dad can now bring out a bottle of wine that he made with his son and attend at home with them. And that's a big deal. And it was like, it was the bridge. And now his dad brags about him all the time. But, you know, it's going looking for those things. I know he's done that in this relationship because I know how it was. Bruno, for years, had a probation officer, his dad, and a police officer running after him. And as soon as, you know, as soon as he became a Christian, he got his hair cut, which his dad went, whoa! And he stopped smoking and stopped doing drugs, and that was all good. But their relationship was never healed. So we got to go looking for those things. And I know he's done it. And if I look through the Bible and the relationships that he healed, I mean, if you look at the prodigal son, that story, that is huge. A son taking his wealth and going and squandering it, and the father still welcoming him home, that is huge. And the restoration that says to bring that, he's willing to put a ring on his finger and shoes and clothe him. I mean, it's just, it's insane. But God is like that. And so if he's done it there, why won't he do it in relationships today? And then we've got the whole issue of healing in people's bodies. Like, you know, all the aches and pains and this and that people go through. God wants to bring healing. I have no doubt about it whatsoever. It's not even a question in my mind. I have seen him heal me, okay, because I've gone through issues. As you heard, I've done, you know, there have been things that have gone on in my life, and God has healed me. I have seen him heal others. When we first got married, I got pregnant as soon as we got married, okay? But I lost a baby. And with losing the baby, I had to be hospitalized because I didn't naturally, the baby wasn't released, so I had to go for surgery. In the surgery, I was damaged. And I was in and out of the hospital for almost 4 months afterwards. And it wasn't a good thing. It really was not a good thing. In the end of it, I'm 24, just turned 25 years old, and my doctors are saying, you may not be able to carry a child full term. And, you know, I was devastated. I was totally devastated. And I was like, what? And they're like, well, you know, we'll have to see. But revival hit, and I got pregnant. That's my oldest. And I was pregnant or nursing for 10 years. 5 kids, you know? And that's what I say to people. God not only wants to heal you in that area of your deepest need, physically or whatever it is, but he wants to bring you far beyond healing and into fruitfulness in that area. It's not just a testimony, but it's into fruitfulness. Because he wants that to extend to other people, that they would know his great, great love. Great, great, enormous love. So we do need to remember his goodness. And when we're called upon by our children or by anyone that we work with, to say, how do you know that you know? You have a testimony ready to go. You can say, I know. This is what God did in the Bible, and this is what he's done for me. I know. Okay? I have no doubt about it that this is who my God is, and I do remember. So I remember the wonders of old. I remember the stories in the Bible. I am a total student of the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament stories. And I would, you know, say, hey, know your history about the Bible. Know what God did. Because he did huge miracles. I mean, I have yet to see, you know, the water that was salty turned sweet. I would love to see that miracle happen today. Like, I would love, I really would. Especially in some of these Arab countries where they need Jesus. I would love for some Christians to go in and make some of those really the salty places sweet in Jesus' name. I think that would be really cool. And I think we'd see some really neat salvations. I'd love to see that one. You know, there's some different ones that he's done, and I'm praying to see them in my lifetime. I think it's possible. I think it's totally possible. The one I really want to see God use me in, though, is the one where Peter in Acts 18, he's walking and a shadow falls on people and they're healed. Okay, that one will be really cool. Okay, one day, that's really, yeah, I'm two hands in the air. God use me for that one. But yeah, it's just, you know, you got to know. And you got to say, okay, I remember, and he can do this again. He absolutely can. Psalm 103, verse 18 says, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember the commandments to do them. And here they're talking about his goodness. Okay, his goodness just chases down those, for those who keep his commandments, and those who remember to do them, to keep his covenant, and those who remember to do his commandments. And that's pretty, I mean, that's like basic Christianity. It's not, we're not making this complicated. Just his covenant. And you know what his covenant is? Covenant is his love for you. His covenant is that I created this world to show you my love, and I sent my son to die for you to show you my love, and that he would rise again, and it's all about my love for you. And it's signed, and it's sealed, and it's delivered, and all you have to do is agree with it. So our part in agreeing is part of the remembering. Psalm 106 verse 4 says, remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation. And so this, again, is one of those times where we're calling on God to remember us. Because you know what? All of us go through times where we feel forgotten or left out or set aside. And so some of these prayers, these ones, are ones to call out to him and say, remember me. Just remember me. And he's saying, absolutely, I'm there, totally there. The next verse goes on, our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled against it by the sea. And so in this verse, the writer is actually saying, I remember that my people did not always remember you. And this is what happened because of it. They chose rebellion. And so we also need to make those safeguards in our own lives to say, you know what, I am going to speak out those things of old, those practices of old, those ancient ways. This is one of the ancient ways of God, about remembering, so that the rebellion doesn't come up in me. Because all of us have that in us, the ability to rebel against what God wants. Okay, all of us do. Let's face it. But part of our safeguard is remembering. Is remembering him. And then the end, at the very end of the Psalms, in Psalm 143, verse 5, it says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on your works. I muse at the work of your hands. So just muse. Enjoy the work of his hands. Meditate on those things. Remember. Just remember. Remember all he's done. And when it comes to 9/11, I want to say, do remember. Okay, do remember, and take some time to talk to your kids about what happened. Like, my Abigail was born a couple days after. So, like, to talk about it is, like, they don't know the world any other way. But even children that are a little bit older than that didn't know enough to know what it's about. So talk about it. You know, it's not too horrific. They don't need to know all the details, okay? You do need to, like, you know, with different ages, you can say as much as you like, but the little ones don't need to know. But they do need to know that this was a big deal, and this changed the world. And I was listening to one newscast, and they said, this is our Pearl Harbor. And it really is. This is this generation's. And we need to remember, because there are some amazing stories of God's goodness. I was listening to testimonies this week on CBN, and just take a listen if you want, about people who heard the voice of God as the planes hit and followed his voice about how to get out and where to go next, and meeting up with family members after, which were like totally a miracle, and everything else. Like one guy was even blind and had a dog, and he was a Christian and got out alive, you know, and going down the stairs and stuff. And it's just amazing. But God was with those people. And you know, the voice, many of them said this, and I don't think they knew that each one had said this, but many of them said, I could hear a voice talking to me as clear as you are beside me. And it said, don't worry about what you can't control. Focus on what you can. And this, like, almost each one of them said that. And that would be God, wouldn't it? Don't worry about the things you can't control. Focus on the things you can. So we need to remember. We need to remember these stories of people that survived. We need to remember the stories of the people that died. And we need to remember all the stories involved about those who just called God. And did you know that the percentage in New York City rose dramatically of Christians? Before 9/11, it was like 20%, and now it's like 32-33% are born again, going to church, and all those things. So like, it did transform in many different ways. So do remember, because God's going to bring those people through. Do remember what God's done in your life and how he's changed everything. Just take some time. I was listening last night to a song. I don't know if you've heard it. Oh, you probably have on Christian radio. It's called Blessings by Laura Story. You guys heard that? Okay. Anyway, if you can Google it or listen to it on YouTube or on GodTube. It says, we pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort the family. Protect us while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while you hear each spoken need, you love us too much to give us lesser things. And she just goes through this whole thing about all these different things that we pray for. And then she says, you're nearer. And what if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? And I thought that was a really interesting line. What if those things that we go, oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this, are God's mercies in disguise? What if? What if those are the times that he's saying, I need you to call for my mercy. I need you to remember how I've taken you through this before. This is your time to remember, because I've remembered you all through this. And so, Father, right now, we ask for your forgiveness for those times that we haven't remembered, but instead out of our mouth has come complaints about our situations and asking you why you haven't come through and just, you know, all those different things, Father. And Father, we also ask you to forgive us for those times where we haven't had a testimony to share, when people ask us if you're really real and ask us how we know that we know that you are good. So right now, Father, we just ask for your forgiveness on those matters. And Father, for those issues that we're facing right now in our lives, we just hold them up with open hands towards you. And just open up your hands and see yourself giving those to you. Father, whether it be relational issues or health issues or financial issues, we just have an open hand with those, Father. And right now, we choose to remember how you brought the children of Israel through the exile in Babylon, how you brought them through the desert, how you brought them through the slavery in Egypt, how you brought them through the Roman invasions, just through how you brought them through, Lord. And we choose to remember how you've brought us through things in our lives. Your goodness. And we agree with your word, Lord. And we agree with your goodness. And we agree with your mercies. And Father, right now, we ask that you would flood us with your mercy. And that you would remember us in the middle of this whole difficulty that we're going through. And that you would bring us the other side, that we would have this amazing testimony of your love. I'm thinking right now, Mary Audrey always says, she's one of the pastors, she says, there's no testimony without a test. And so, Father, we say yes. We want a testimony at the end of this. We want to be able to brag about your goodness, to tell the world, to shout from the housetops how good you are, and how your love invigorates us and gives us life. And so right now I want to ask you if any of you have things that you're remembering his goodness on your life. If anybody wants to share a bit of a testimony about how he's brought you through something that's just amazing. Is there anybody who wants to do that? Okay, come on up. Just come on up and let's just make a line and we'll do that for a few minutes, okay? Because it's all about him.
After 9/11, my husband wanted to do something to come against the fear that had come as a result of the terrorist attacks. I had a magnet on my fridge that had been given to me by a good Christian friend. It was the Aaronic blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up your countenance and give you peace. He had that photocopied and into little cards like that and had them laminated. And he gave them out to just about everybody he met to bless them.
And he'll do that again for us. Anybody else have a testimony or something? Okay, sure. That was Jane. This is Sophie.
Ten years after the 9/11, it bring me the memories of God's grace towards my son, Edward. I remember that in September, we have about a dozen of people sitting, you know, having dinner. And my son was working with Manulife. And then after he got the degree in the actuary, and then later on he took 32 exam, he passed it, and he got a fellow in actuary. So, and then he said, Mom, I'm going to New York. And I said, my son, don't go. Don't go. I knew it in my spirit. The Lord revealed to me there is something's going to happen in United States, particularly in New York. I said, don't go. Well, I asked him, don't go. And the mother can only say that much. But I cling to God, his mercy and grace. So when that, he said, I have 5 or 6 interviewed, or in that area. And so when the 9/11 stroke, and he called me, Mom, I'm still in Toronto. Oh, how he could delay for a week or something, a few days, I do not know. But something I do know, it was the work of God. It was the grace of God. And so 9/11, I've gone through emotion of thanksgiving. I feel it was truly the grace of God upon me and upon my son. Otherwise, in this time, I would be grieving of the lost. But let me go back a little bit. On that year, in the month of June, the Lord revealed to me that something very unusual going to happen. So I wait upon the Lord in the July. And then I knew that I knew in my spirit something is going to happen in the United States, particularly in New York. So in the month of August, the whole month, my spirit was grieving, weeping for the people in the United States and particularly for New York. Day and night, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. But only under the spirit of intercession and weeping and asking the Father for the mercy of the people. And I felt that the Father's going to do something, allow something to going to happen. It's the Father loved them. The Father disciplined the children because they love them. And I knew it in my spirit because the love of the Father was in me and grieve and weep. So later on, I was able, through a prophet in having a television and radio, or a prophet Hansen in the Spokane. I share these after the 9/11, and he said so many Americans want to hear that message that God still loves them. And so they have, he said, they have the best response from all United States in that interview. So I want to share God's love. And anyway, I thank God I have the opportunity to share that with you.
Yeah.
I told you guys I was from Montreal, so I'm 23, and when I was 20, God told me to move to London, Ontario, and that's where my father lives and my stepmom and my step-siblings, and I really, really didn't want to go. My dad's not a Christian. My stepmom's not a Christian. It was just a really bad environment, and it didn't make any sense. I was like, God, why would you want this? Why would you put me through this? Like, when I was a kid, I used to go in the summer, and I would always come back so damaged. Every year, I would just come back, and it was just like I would have to, like, fix my emotions, like, my poor mom, so much to deal with. But he told me to move there, so I did. I listened, and within 2 weeks, I moved to London, and I got really close to my stepsister, and I brought her to Fresh Wind, and she became a Christian. She gave her life to Jesus, and I was like, yay, can I go home now? And God, I felt like it wasn't time yet, so I stayed, and I learned so much about honoring my parents and so much about just respecting even when they don't, in my opinion, at the time, they didn't deserve my respect. That sounds so bad, but just behaviorally, it didn't make sense, and God taught me so much about that, and my stepmom started to get really close to me as well, and I invited her to church. She was Catholic. She's Italian, very Catholic, whole life Catholic. And I invited her to church, and she came out. And the first time she came with me, it was like almost like a revival meeting. It was so funny. It was like the worst time to bring her to church because the guy was just doing the craziest things. And I remember asking her after, and she was like, that was weird, but there was something about it. There was something real about it. And about a month later, she gave her life as well. Yeah, really exciting. And about, I think 6 months after that, my dad did as well. So, yeah, so that's my story. God's been really good to me. And, oh, yeah, they were together for 15 years, and just this last October, they finally got married because God put that in their hearts. So God's been really good.
See, it's good to remember. And if he does it for Candace, he can do it for all of us. Does anybody else have anything they want to say? Okay. Come on up, Sonia. Is there anyone else? Because then I'm going to pray after Sonia's done, okay? Anyone? Last call. Okay.
Thanks, Naomi. Naomi and I were kind of raised in a similar background, so I relate 100% to her upbringing. I want to share today because the mercy of God, His kindness, and His grace is overwhelming. You never know that the eyes of the Father, He says He searches throughout the whole world, and His eyes are searching to and fro, not once in a while, all the time. He knows your address, He knows where you live, and He knows what's happening because He says He wrote all the pages of your life in His book before the foundations of the world. Well, I'm going to share with you protection, divine protection. My mother taught me how to read the Bible when I was like 5 years old. She prayed every day. My father was not a Christian at the time. My dad and mom had bought a heritage property in Meech Lake across the river from Ottawa. My dad was stubborn. He didn't want to change anything. It was 150 years old, log home, one of the first. No, we're not changing anything. No lights, no plumbing, no everything. Exactly. It was a beautiful home. I had visions as a little girl. So many times we'd be leaving to go up our valley. We had 300 acres of land. And I'd see that house on fire and the roof coming in and huge sprays of fire going into the night sky. In the spring of 1963, National Capital Commission wanted our land. My father said no. Crawley Films wanted our home for a movie, for Heritage Canada. We said no. Middle of the night, 1:30 in the morning. Now remember, we had no phone. We had no electricity. We had huge wood stoves with the reservoirs. I mean, you were walking into Little House on the Prairie. In the middle of the night, my mother woke up to the sound of a little bell ringing in her ear. And she got up, and she went down those stairs. We had not been in our home all day. We had been at another family. It was firecracker day. But as she was coming up the stairs, she looked out the window, and she saw orange flickering on the grass. And she ran back behind the house, and the entire house was on fire. She came back into that house, and quietly, she came up to me, and she said, "Sonia, the house is on fire. Help me get your, help you wake up your sister. Help me get your brothers up." My father was asleep. He rose to the occasion. We had a granite root kill. My dad had a trout hatchery. He was also a foreman with Quebec Hydro. But in our granite root cellar, we had cans of naphtha gasoline because we had the Tiffany lamps and we used to put gasoline, naphtha. He also did a lot of his own construction, so he had all of his dynamite caps, blasting caps, dynamite sticks. You know the sizes, guys. You put them into granite rock when you're going to blow up rock, and it does the job. We had all of that in our house. Firecracker weekend, May 2-4. And my mom and my dad tried to fight that fire with the pump, our water, our spring, and everywhere the fire would burst out everywhere. And finally my mom said, "We've got to get out now." And as my father was coming out, the logs started falling down behind him. And he got us together. And remember, this man's not a Christian, but he did honor God in a lot of his ways by the way he raised us. We went up to a garage at the top of our hill where he kept a lot of things, old furniture and whatnot. But as we were going up that hill, I turned around and I saw the vision of that house exploding and the flames in the air. And I realized in my spirit, God took us out of that. And my father, at the top of that hill, he gathered us together. And he said to my mother, he said, "Vera, we're none of us harmed. We don't even have a burn." He says, "I can't smell the smoke." He said, "Looks like we've lost everything. But tomorrow we start again." That summer, NSCC gave them what they got for $5,000 10 years ago. They got $65,000 in 1963 for a new start. The last one I want to share very quickly, because the scripture says that when you go through the fire, it shall not consume you. But it also says that when you go through the flood, it shall not overwhelm you. And there was a night in Quebec, for those of you from Quebec, you know the torrential floods that we have from the rivers and the streams, the creeks. And we had such the Meech Creek. And this one night, my mother is 7 months pregnant with my little brother. We come home, and remember, there's no electricity, but there's a raging, raging creek. And we had the old log bridge. And my dad picked up each one of us. And he had a lantern in one hand and us in his other. And he would walk us across those logs. And I could feel his whole body just shivering with and the water was up around his waist. Huge torrent. And he even carried my mom. My little brother was on the other side crying. It was pitch black. The rain was coming down. And I never forgot that. Because years later in a crusade meeting, a pastor prophet from Lebanon prophesied over me, when you pass through the fire, it shall not consume you. And when you go through the waters, it shall not overflow you. And I'm telling you, saints, he does that. Last year I was horribly sick. I didn't tell many people. And there's one night when I woke up in my room, in the middle of the night, and I could feel myself, great peace. And I could feel myself being rocked like a baby. Gently back and forth and back and forth. And there's a scripture that says, Father's love is all around us. He knows your deepest hour. He knows what's coming, but he takes you through.
Amen. And so, Father, right now, we just ask that you would take us through. Take us through and help us to remember who you stated you are and who you will be in our lives, who you have been in our lives and who you will be in our future. And who you have been in the lives of Israel, and who you plan to be in the future for the nation of Israel, and just who you are. And so, Father, right now, we present ourselves to come in line with that, and we remember those things. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.